A new political party has entered the electoral landscape. With me is co-founder Kulu Radebe of the Service Movement for Betsy Moholo. Welcome, Kulu.
Thank you. Thank you, Christine. I'm really excited to be part of this interview. Your viewers on TV, your listeners on radio, and everywhere else.
Your party has morphed from a non-profit organization founded in 2017 into a political party. What are your foundational objectives?
Let me just get this thing correct with you. We've been doing work in the community for quite some time. And it has not been the agenda to really contest the elections. We wanted to be a support system to local government because we believe that civil society organizations can play a very important role and support democracy. And unfortunately, things didn't turn the way we planned them. You know, it's always a problem where people don't really understand that the difference between societal activism, democracy, and governance. And that creates a problem in South Africa. I always say to my guys, you know, we made a terrible mistake in 1994 to abandon civil society organizations and thought that democracy by its own nature, having a democratic government, is a solution to every societal problem. But we only realized later that government can only do this much. And civil society can come handy in assisting government. You talk in terms of your IDP processes. You know, if you have to maintain a sporting facility, you give it to the community. And in that, you need, you know, an NGO that can take care of that particular infrastructure. It can't be government 100%. It must always be civil society, whether it's a sporting organization, whether it's a multi-people center, whatever it is, it must be given to society for better management. And government will just ensure that private sector comes handy. Because without that relationship between private sector and government, it will be difficult for PPPE to really work on the ground. So this is what we have always said, and we realized it later that no, we need to take part in this process. If anything fails, you know, let's take this thing by ourselves.
Now, your unifying theme is new animal. What is that a metaphor for?
The new animal, it's a buzzword, basically. Because, you know, with communities, you must get the views of the community before you come up with a name. Now, we said we needed something like a new animal in Metsi Mahoa. So let's give it a buzzword, new animal, and the community must decide what kind of a better name would suit their own situation. Remember, it is a bottom-up approach. Consult with the communities, have their views. They must give you what they want. They must set up the objectives. The role of leadership is just to coordinate. And we said then, if the community says we want this new animal to be named a service movement for Metsi Mahoa, so it be. So you can't separate the two because the other is the foundation of the other. Now we have the new animal. It's a buzzword in Metsi Mahoa. It's a big word in Metsi Mahoa. It's an identity of the new service movement in Metsi Mahoa. Now, when you talk of the new animal in the Free State, not only in Sasolburg, in the Free State, people are now beginning to say, let's establish new animal, something new for the community.
Now, your heartland is the Metsi Mahoa municipality. Which towns all fall under that municipality?
Traditionally, it was Dennisville, Orangeville, and Sasolburg, Valpark, and Zandela. Now, with the new processes, you know, communities would always want to have their own views. The community of Heilbron is now part of Metsi Mahoa. Now, we are stretching ourselves towards Heilbron. And let me tell you, we are excited as Metsi Mahoa to have Heilbron as part of Metsi Mahoa. People don't know that Heilbron is 156 years old. And that on its own is a heritage that is going to boost the tourism nature, the tourism character of Metsi Mahoa as an industrial area, fusing it with the traditional historical town that is very old, that is an en route to the Eastern Free State.
How have other political parties fared in the last three elections in your municipality?
When you say three political parties, you are referring to the bigger parties, your ANC, your DA, your EFF. All of them fared below 50%. Hence, we are in a coalition government. And it's not just an ordinary 50%. You know, ANC is around, it's trailing around 38%. And, you know, your EFF and your DA are trailing behind the 20%.
And how has this coalition, sounds uncomfortable coalition, affected service delivery in the municipality?
The reason is that it is not based on sound principles. You know, once coalition arrangements are not based on sound principles, sound agreements, you know, there's a mandate theory where the bigger parties, the national leaderships or provincial leadership, begin to discuss the issues that affect communities. It takes away, you know, the real value, the real feeling of the communities on the ground. Because the failure of coalition arrangements, it is that they are drawn elsewhere in the boardroom by higher structures. They are giving lower structures a mandate. Instead of lower structures determining their own conditions, having their own arrangements, and moving from a premise of common understanding. So basically what has led to the failure of the coalition arrangement is that they are not built on sound principle, which is what we would not encourage at all. Once we enter into the space and we don't have sound arrangements with political parties, in case, because we are aspiring to be about 50%, in case we fell below, definitely it is we will respect the will of the people. But the same will of the people must be accompanied by their interests. So if it is not accompanied by their interest, we would not be part of that arrangement. It must be based on sound principle. This is our view, because we have seen coalition failing.
Now, for almost a decade, you have been involved in community programs in your municipality. Please tell us what you have been doing.
Let me tell you, we started the projects in 2013. And in 2013, we realized that the system is not working for all of us. And then we established what was called MICC, the Metsimao Interim Coordinating Committee. But because we were doing this thing as an emergency thing, it didn't work well, because we're also approaching the 2016, the 2014 and the 2016 elections, and parties were busy. We then said, okay, let's relax everything. Just after the 2016 elections, we revived the program. We established Metsimao Stakeholders Forum. The main focus was unemployment in the beginning. And there were no relationship between the municipality of Metsimao with Sasol, with Siriti Mine, with Eskom. And then we approached, you know, we started with Eskom. We went to Eskom, we wrote to Eskom, we said, can't we have a platform where we are all sitting together to resolve the social contradictions that exist in society? And there was that hassle between, you know, the corporate and the communities, because the expectation is that government should be the intermediary between the communities and private sector. But we said, no, we are doing it ourselves, and please Eskom, listen to us. And they gave us a chance. A stakeholder forum for Eskom was established, mainly to deal with three things. The CSI part, where private sectors should do community work, the issue of employment, and business opportunities for our people. In this case, we had a situation in a town called Orangeville, where the services from government level were not necessarily going. I'm talking now province, I'm talking the district, I'm talking the local municipality. It was basically a neglected town of Orangeville, which the entire Metsimao is named after, because the word Metsimao, it's a township name of Orangeville. So what happened is that there were houses that were burning in Orangeville, and then because we already established a stakeholder forum at Eskom, we then went to appeal to companies within Eskom and Eskom to provide services in Orangeville. There were three houses that were burned. The other thing was the issue of health. You know, it's 56 kilometers from Sasol Bay, especially where emergency services are located, to a town called Orangeville. By the time an ambulance reaches a town of Orangeville, the person is already dead. In case of fire, if a house burns in Orangeville, by the time the fire extinguishers arrived at that particular town, the house is already burned. As a result, three houses burned And we intervened as Metsimaro Stakeholders Forum. That's where we established what was called the urban renewal of Orangeville. We then invited provincial government to be part of the program. And fortunately, with our influence, three houses were renovated. Eskom donated an ambulance because we also invited them to the town of Orangeville to have the first feeling. How is this town and what is life at Orangeville? Unfortunately, all these things were done outside local government, the municipality, because they were spectators. We invited them, they did not come. Lucky enough, there was a lady who was working in the mayor's office in First Lady, because she's from Orangeville. She participated in the whole issue of, you know, getting the services that are needed for her own community. I must mention that because it's a milestone achievement that we reached. With that particular intervention, Eskom was able to avail service providers who then said, okay, we have a panel van. With this panel van, let's have this service, let's turn this panel van into an ambulance. It was turned into an ambulance, It was donated to the community during the 2018 Mandela event. The unfortunate part, again, is that the provincial government took time to grab the opportunity. We struggled to ensure that the asset it is transferred to the provincial government. Finally, they were transferred to the provincial government, and Babcock came on board as well, donated the 1.3 million to convert the panel van. The panel van was donated by Lafarge. So Babcock, as a service provider in Eskom, donated 1.3 million to turn the panel van into an ambulance. It's a very nice ambulance. Certainly, I will send you pictures later to see what kind of an ambulance. It's a Mercedes. You know, government is using a vehicle. A private sector donated a Mercedes, which has only traveled 10,000 kilos. Basically, they knew. With standard of Mercedes, when a car, you get a Mercedes car, you get at the kilos of 10,000 kilos. It's basically a new Mercedes. It's a new car. It's a new panel van. So that community of Orangeville accepted the donation of an ambulance. Unfortunately, as I'm speaking to you now, it is not servicing that particular community. That is very frustrating on our side. All our efforts went in vain. But because now we are now in the political space of bringing change, the first thing that we're going to do, we're going to ensure that the ambulance goes back where it was donated, servicing the community of Orangeville. Second thing that we did, employment. You know, the people of Sasolburg were not employed as expected in Eskom. Today, with the stakeholder forum that has been established in Eskom, employment opportunities are now even between the people from Mfuleni and Metsimaholo. As the standard practice in Eskom is that they will service a 50-kilometer radius community. The other achievement is the achievement with Sasol. You know, if I can tell you what we did with Sasol and Metsimaholo, I'll take the whole day. During COVID, the Fezingo Bentembe Hospital was renovated through our influence. In fact, before the COVID, the hospital was renovated because we made our plea very clear to Sasol that you gave birth to a town called Metsimaholo, a town called Sasolburg, a town called Sandela. You can't neglect this community that you proudly produced. And Sasol contributed immensely in terms of resources to ensure that the hospital is renovated to a better standard. During COVID, PPE were donated, and we were also invited. In all these events, we were invited to say, Metsimaholo Stakeholders Forum, come and see your efforts. And we would come there and do the work and see how things are done there. All these things forced our communities to say, but use Metsimaholo Stakeholders Forum. You can now change the things around in our community. Why don't you enter the space? We said, no, we can't enter the political space. We can rather assist the communities to establish something new, which is called the new enema. So we are still maintaining Metsimaholo Stakeholders Forum. At the very same time, we are also contributing in what the communities are aspiring to have, which is a force that will change their lives politically in a right manner in Metsimaholo. Yes, and recently, just this past Easter, we organized a sports tournament. The belief that we have is that we can't punish young people because their elders or their parents are not paying for services. It is not their responsibility. Their responsibility is to exercise their full right of young people. If they have to participate in sports, so it be. So we organized a soccer tournament the past weekend. A very, very successful soccer tournament. It is reverberating in the entire province. Everyone wants to do what we are doing. During the December holidays, we cut grass, you know, in the main roads, because the main, if you, you know, during December, crime goes high. In the main roads, if you don't cut grass, you know, criminals take opportunity of, you know, hiding behind big grass and start robbing the people. So we made Metsimaholo, we made our biggest circle, which is the entrance into the main town and the Free State, a movable area where people can confidently now use the road. So we did so many things, including the green belts. We cut the grass in the green belts. So we're basically not really on holiday. We're at work, hard at work. And we're still hard at work even today.
Thank you. That was Kulu Radebe, co-founder of a service movement for Metsimaholo. Speaking to BizNews, I'm Christine.